right, welcome everyone to Talking Shop Down Under, episode number 15 we're on tonight. I am your host, Richard Banks, as always, and I have with me tonight Aaron Powell. Aaron, welcome.
Howdy, everyone.
Howdy, everyone. So Aaron, welcome to the show. You do a fair bit of work with Embraco, from what we understand.
Yes, that's correct. I'm one of the developers on the core team for the Embraco open source project. So I spend a lot of time doing that. Also, I'm involved with a couple other open source projects, generally related to Embraco, working on a new search indexer, which is coming in the next version of Embraco, called Xamn. And just work on some other smaller frameworks, such as client dependency, which is just a way of managing your CSS and JavaScript files that we've built for Embraco, but it's just a .NET API. And also run the WebForms MVP contrib project, which Tatham was on the other week talking about.
He was indeed. I didn't realize you actually ran that one.
Yes, I thought WebForms MVP seemed like a reasonably good idea, so decided that I was sick of writing the same presenter over and over and over again, and that there was probably people out there that were doing the same. So I started that one up, and also built a couple of additional IOC containers for that.
Oh, okay. Very good. Apart from all the open source stuff, what do you do for a crust normally?
I work for a digital agency up here in Sydney called The Farm Digital. A bit of a plug there, I guess, for them. We're predominantly an Embraco shop. We do a lot of custom builds that are Embraco-based and have fairly heavy Flash integration. We do a lot of work just integrating those two technologies together.
Okay, so Embraco, do you want to give a bit of a rundown on what it is for those who aren't aware? Other than it's a CMS, what about it is interesting or different from the other million and one myriad other CMSs floating around out there?
Well, I guess what's really interesting about Embraco compared to most of the other CMSs that I've worked with is that it's a completely bare-bones CMS that when you first install Embraco, you actually don't have anything installed with it. You don't have any pages, you don't have any templates, you don't even have any document types, which are our name for content structuring. So you essentially just have an install of something that you then start with. The idea with that is that Embraco is very community focused. I guess coming as an open source project, it's relied a lot on communities to at least get it to where it is today. Mm-hmm. So we've got nothing out of the box. And if you're looking for something specific, chances are someone has done something like that to begin with, or at least get you started with, that's available on the community website.
So you differentiate yourself from other CMSs by not giving anyone anything.
Correct. We try and not.
It seems not a little backwards, doesn't it?
I guess so, but it doesn't lock you into any kind of restrictions. You don't have to do it a particular way. We don't say that if you're going to have a news module on your site, because we've given you a news module. We say, well, if you want a news module, you can go get a news module.
Okay. So where do you get them from? Off the Embraco site as well?
Well, there's a community website called our.embraco.org, and this is kind of the community area for it. It's where the help forum is. It's where we've got a wiki for all the documentation, or at least the majority of documentation. And it's also where people can put up projects that they're working on. So things like additionals to the CMS, such as a guy did a Google Analytics package. So you can actually view your website's Google Analytics statistics straight from the CMS without having to go into the Google accounts.
Just pulling the API information across.
Correct, and it's a great package, and I've definitely given you a good plug there. But there's lots of other ones to do things, such as forums or pull media in from like the Amazon CDN and stuff like that. So we've got a centralized location for that rather than just giving it to you when you install the product, because chances are you don't need the majority of it.
Okay, so if I'm a little marketing type site, you know, one of those brochureware catalog things, what would I be looking to do then? I'd get Embraco, I'd download it, and then I'd go browsing for modules and then be going, well, which one do I need? Which one's the right one? Is there like some way for people who are new to the whole thing to just find a way through?
Yeah, well, obviously your first step is grabbing a copy of Embraco. You can either get that off the Codeplex site or straight through the web platform installer from Microsoft. We're one of the projects that are hosted through that. So yep. that that's a great way to get started. It's a very easy setup process. And then from within the CMS, there's kind of the top rated packages are available. So you can straight from the CMS choose ones that you want to get started with or you want to have a play around with. Or if you decide that none of those ones are suiting what you need, you can jump onto the community website. And we've got a voting system on packages that people create. So you can have a look and say you see three packages that are doing the kind of thing you want. You have a look at the feedback people are giving. So the majority of people are saying package XYZ is rated 5 points above the rest of them. Well, that's obviously the one that the community is feeling is the best one to go to.
Reasonably confident win.
Yeah, it's the one that you probably want to download.
Okay, so then I go grab my package and then I want to customize it. Now, this is where, from what I understand, this is where this XML nastiness starts turning up. Is that right?
Yeah, Braco is built on top of XML. We store all our data in an XML cache rather than hitting the database for every request. So all CMSs have some level of cache. We just choose XML to store in. So XSLT is one of the options of interacting with that data. It's great if you want to do some UI stuff, you want to build some navigation, sitemaps, or just manipulate some data that you're getting back from the API. Alternatively to that, we've got full support for .NET controls, either .NET web controls that are just put into an assembly or .NET user controls. So you can just load up an ASCX on your page. And we also have support for Python and IronRuby. So you can pretty much do your UI or your front-end logic using a myriad of different tools.
So you can do Ruby on your CMS?
Correct. I actually haven't used Ruby or Python within Embraco, but I know people have used the Python engine.
This is not putting Rails inside Embraco.
No. This is just loading up using IronRuby. I guess it's kind of using Rails, but through the IronRuby and the IronPython projects that have come right. Out of Microsoft.
Cool. So no one's done an F# module yet, have they?
Not that I'm aware of, but since F# is actually just a .NET CLI,
it should be fine object, too.
Yeah, if anyone has tried an F#
in library, a CMS,
I would love to hear about it. It would be definitely an interesting idea.
So if I'm writing my own in my own modules and I want to put them in there into Embraco, is there anything special I need to do? I need to inherit from a base class, or I need to talk to a certain interface or implement an interface or something like that? Or it's just this is a page and you're effectively embedding it in an iframe or something like that?
Well, Embraco loads up standard master pages. So if you're coding up a page level UI, then you've just got a Visual Studio editor experience, essentially. You can copy your files into Visual Studio. You can use them using the IntelliSense and everything like that.
Yep.
And then if you wanted to load up, say, an ASCX file, we go through a macro engine in Embraco. So you would go into the developer section of Embraco, create a new macro, and then select from all the ASCX files that Embraco has found within your website.
So you just drop them into a particular directory and then it's just available to pick up and go from there, right?
Yep. Okay. You don't have to inherit from any specific types.
So if you want to access Embraco data, you just call the APIs, add a reference, and away you go?
Yep. There's a couple of different APIs that you can call. There's one that interacts with the XML cache, which is obviously great if you're doing a web UI. Then there's one that interacts with the database level if you wanted to, say, programmatically create some pages or manipulate them at that level. And coming in the next version of Embraco is a full link provider, so you'll be able to interact with your data using essentially a link.
Link to XML, effectively?
Well, essentially it sits on top of link to XML, but it's fully strongly typed on the types that you define in Embraco. So if you define a content page that has a page body, a page header, and an image, then you can generate a .NET class that represents that you can interact with.
Oh, very nice. That's
pretty nice. I actually wrote the link to Embraco API. Another plug for myself here. And I commonly joke that the reason I did it was I'm not a fan of XSLT, that anyone that follows me on Twitter or has met me in person has probably heard me rant about XSLT, and the joke is that I don't like XSLT so much I wrote my own API for it.
Yeah, I've done some XSLT in my time, and it's mind-bendingly weird at places. And it's just hard to debug, hard to diagnose, which is why if you've got a CMS built that is so strongly focused on XSLT, it seems kind of strange.
Yeah, I guess part of the reason that it's so strongly focused on XSLT is that it gives a bit more visibility to people that are not necessarily .NET developers, someone that's coming from a design background. They may be more familiar with an XSLT concept, doing selectors and stuff like that. So it's not really hard if you're not a .NET developer, I guess.
Well, as long as the XSLT is simple, though.
Correct. I've definitely seen some interesting XSLTs written for Embraco, and I've looked at them and gone, I'm not sure I would have done it that way. I would really love a compiler to be going over that right now.
What could go wrong? XSLT is all pure runtime, so, you know, you'll only find out when you go live.
Yeah, and the error message you get back from a failing XSLT is very helpful, and you can diagnose exactly what's gone wrong from, like, just looking at the message you get back.
There's something wrong between the first line and the last line.
Yeah.
About in that middle bit.
Yeah, just the unimportant section
of
that file.
Those 650 lines of XSLT in there that you've got. It's there somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you've got a lot of customization to do, your first preference, obviously, then by the sounds of it, is to aim on doing your own custom user controls, basically.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then leave all that XSLT stuff aside and don't touch it.
Yeah, I must admit I have written one or two XSLTs in my time, but generally they're for things like navigation or breadcrumbs or a sitemap, something that looping over a bit of data seems fairly logical.
So it's quite simple.
Yeah, but doing a form submission in XSLT, I will not do that.
Strangely enough. So this is all web forms based. It's not ASP.NET MVC?
No, it's not at the moment. Currently, we use web forms as the runtime engine, but we're actually looking to move to an MVC framework for the next version of Embraco, which is in the planning stages at the moment. Before anyone gets their hopes up and go, "Oh, MVC CMS," we're a little bit way off achieving that at the moment.
Because obviously there's a fair bit that would have to be redone.
Correct.
So what's the reason for moving then? Is it just to improve testability of controls and or is it more around the fact that you've got all the URL side of things? Because that's standard .NET though.
Yeah, part of the reason for moving to MVC is it does make it a lot more testable, and it helps enforce a decoupled concept. So it's easier to separate your business logic essentially from your just UI layers. That's something that Embraco doesn't do very well at the moment within the CMS's internals. So it's kind of a good chance for us to just start again from scratch, take the concepts that have made Embraco a good CMS for the last 5 years and do it better.
So why, if it's about testability, then why wouldn't you just slot into WebForms MVP, for instance?
To be honest, I think we see that MVC has a great lot of legs coming up in the future. It's a lot lighter than using WebForms, and it just gives developers an option, really. We're definitely not canning support for the WebForms version of Embraco, at least not in any time soon.
Yep.
So it's kind of going to be two parallel projects. You'll have Embraco WebForms and Embraco MVC operating side by side for each other. And it gives developers the opportunity to say, okay, the project I'm going to be working on is a WebForms project, so I'm going to go with Embraco WebForms, or I'm looking to do an MVC project, so Embraco MVC is definitely my ideal option.
Okay, so then you'll have effectively a core engine that sits underneath both of them, providing functionality, and then a web forms or an MVC front end that you then just hook into from there.
At a high level, have very similar concepts between the two of them, but whether or not they share libraries, not sure yet. Like I said, we're still in the planning phases of that.
Not giving away any information. Have you got a code name for it?
MVC. Oh, wait, no, I think someone's already got that one.
Yeah. .net space without a code name for a project.
I think Embraco 5 is the current code name, but yeah, it's
so boring.
I know. Might have to have a chat with everyone. We'll see if we can come up with something a little bit more edgy.
All right. You were mentioning earlier that you also do the WebFonts MVP contrib project. What are some of the things that have turned up in there? So you've done your own contribution for IOC containers and a couple of presenters.
Yeah, essentially the idea was that I was writing the same kind of things constantly, and WebFonts MVP is a great framework, but it's a framework. It's not designed to give you things like authentication presenters or that kind of stuff. And how many times have you got to go onto a website and, oh, I need to be able to do login? Well, if you're using WebFonts MVP, you've got to create a view, you've got to create a presenter, and you've then got to write a unit test that handles that. So I thought, well, if I'm writing this, someone else is probably writing it as well. So why don't I start a project that's going to do that for me, that I can just go somewhere, download an external assembly, drop it in, and have a presenter that's already handling my authentication.
And that's wrapping the ASP.NET membership provider, is it?
No, it's just completely pluggable. It actually expects a service to be passed in that deals with the authentication. It's really just a presenter and a view engine. It's not dealing with any kind of data interaction. So this is then where I evolved into going, well, I need an IOC container as well, because I can't WebFonts MVP is not going to give me a service called authentication service, so I'm going to have to write that. So we take in a service that has methods such as authenticate, login, log out, that kind of stuff. The interface is part of the contrib project assembly, and you pass that into your presenter, and then it calls out to just the ASP.NET membership provider, or if you've written your own authentication model, then it can call into that.
Okay, so if we were hooking into, say, Windows Identity Foundation and doing authentication via that and trying to get tokens back and everything else, then we could do it that way.
Correct, yeah, because it's just an interface that gets passed into your presenter, so you implement that interface however you need to authenticate.
Okay, and what have been some of the other contributions that have turned up?
Lewis Benji has actually added a structure map IOC container as well. So we've got support for AutoFac, Ninject, and structure map in the WebForms MVP contrib project. This is actually a different AutoFac implementation that is in the current version of WebForms MVP core assemblies. I'd written one, and then someone else had also written one, and it was kind of like, oh, well, whoops, we've done it twice now. So pick your poison at the moment until we sort out exactly what we're going to do with that.
So if you were to use both, you're not getting any assembly versioning issues or anything like that? It's
No, because we've obviously got different namespaces and everything. So our AutoFac IOC container, IOC wrapper is in a separate namespace to the one that comes with WebForms MVP.
And you're not deploying the contrib project with the external dependencies built in. You're not merging them at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're actually using where I work at the farm. We're actually using some of this stuff now just to integrate Embraco, WebForms MVP, WebForms MVP contrib, and AutoFac all into one big package of awesome anagrams.
You buzzword bingo.
Exactly. We can play a drinking game out of this, I'm sure. Maybe next conference, maybe D2D Sydney, we can have a buzzword bingo.
All right, Aaron. So what else has been going on?
We're actually working on a new product through the farm. We're actually extending Embraco at the moment to be able to generate flat .NET sites, so it doesn't actually have to run the CMS on your public web server. So it's really good for people that are looking to separate that functionality of
just to create static HTML, you mean?
No, to create the static ASP.NET site. So you've got support for all your form postbacks and everything like that you wanted to do, but you want your CMS to say behind as DMZ.
Ah, okay. So you're just talking about having that just the presentation layer sitting out one side of the firewall and then the core database and everything else sitting on the other side.
Correct. So, yeah, it's the idea is that you can have a front-end website that is fairly locked down. It's got just .NET installed on it, doesn't have any SQL servers or anything like that that's accessible to it, and you've still got a content platform behind it.
Okay, so you doing WCF calls to the back end?
We're actually generating everything that you require that you could just give it to a client on a, I was going to say a CD, but I don't think anyone uses them anymore, on a USB stick, and then they can just plug it into their servers and run it.
So then the data storage is going to be what, just XML files on the file system?
Yeah, XML files, Lucene, or anything like that that you want to interact with.
Okay, so mentioning Lucene, we should probably come back to the thing you mentioned at the start with the search engine that you were, or the search facility you were adding to Umbraco. Do you want to just talk a little bit more about that?
Yep. I've been doing a lot of digging, a lot of hair pulling, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to just try and work out exactly how to use Lucene.net. If anyone's not familiar with that, it's a port of a Java project with the name Lucene that's a search indexer for just flat content. It's essentially producing a document database, so it's kind of NoSQL, I guess.
And it's part of the Apache Foundation as well, isn't it, from memory?
Yep. Yes, both the .NET port and the original Lucene are part of it. Umbraco is always shipped with Lucene built into it, but the existing support is flaky, to say the best. I don't necessarily have to say nice things about it because we've made it so much better. But we looked at it. We were constantly using Lucene at the farm and wanted a better way that we could do with it with Umbraco. And we decided to take out what was in there, build it again ourselves, essentially from scratch. And we're actually putting it back into Umbraco. And it's also up as an open source project. If anyone has had pleasure of working with Lucene.net, it is going to be the ugliest API you've ever seen. But then again, it is a Java port.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some bad ones.
Yeah, it's definitely got a few magic strings in there, some interesting things, interesting casing and naming conventions. But what it does is it searches like nobody's business. It's very fast. So we've actually abstracted away all of that, and we've created a provider model that essentially sits on top of it, called Xamarin, and we ship an implementation for Umbraco called Umbraco Xamarin that ties into the Umbraco event model. So it will, you drop it into your Umbraco site, you tell it what pages or what page types you want to index, and it just magically starts working.
So Umbraco normally does things by doing a crawl and then periodically refreshing its cache, right?
Whenever you publish it, adds to an XML file on the server and stores it in memory. So whenever app pull refreshes, it looks at the file system, loads it back up into memory. And the Lucene one, it just ties into the events that happen when you click publish, and now we've got a document database that's also got the information.
Did I say Umbraco before or Lucene? I can't remember.
Me either.
I was referring to Lucene if I said the wrong word. There's some of the search providers that are around usually do this basically a batching approach to get updates to their cache data and, refreshing their indexes and their keywords and everything else. So you're saying now that Umbraco just fires an event in and Lucene does its thing and updates live?
Correct. We actually run a queue process as well for it to avoid deadlocks with the search indexer. So whenever you click publish or if you try and publish multiple nodes, it generates a series of queue files, which Xamarin will sit there and monitor and essentially just move them into its index when it's scheduled to do so. And this can be run synchronously or asynchronously, depending on how your servers are configured. And then, as soon as the data is imported, you can start searching on it.
Okay, so if I was doing, say, a shopping site that was, standard shopping site with a cart and all that sort of thing, and I have a page that's the checkout page, and it goes off and creates for me a bunch of receipts, and I want to be able to find those receipts for a particular person at a point in time, and so I want to put that into the search engine or have it be indexed. And I write all that with my own custom control, ASCX, etc. I just need to make sure that I'm also providing information and events that can be picked up by the search engine then.
Xamn's got all the methods exposed that you can actually insert data yourself without having to go through Embraco. So if you were doing something and you had your own database that was entirely separate from Embraco, but you wanted it to be part of your Lucene index, you could use the Xamn API and just push data into it. Or you could store that data into Embraco, and that way it's stored in the Embraco database, and as Embraco publishes it out, it also then farms it back into Lucene.
Taking it a step further, if I was running a internal application, I wasn't actually running on Embraco itself, but I wanted to have some data store somewhere that I want indexed by Lucene, and I want to be able to fire events to it, and I want to avoid dealing with Lucene's crappy API. Can I run Xamn standalone and then use that as the front end to Lucene?
At the moment, no. Xamn is provider-based, so it just uses the standard .NET provider model. So you can write your own provider that would sit on top of any search in index, or say Lucene, or if you wanted to just do SQL Server searching or something like that. We are looking at refactoring Xamn so that the Lucene part is actually completely decoupled from Embraco itself, because the concept you're talking about is something that we foresee ourselves having the need for, which in turn means that there's probably someone else out there having that need. But something that I was actually talking about in Melbourne at DDD Melbourne on was the idea of using Embraco not just as a content management system, but as a data storage model. Because of the way you design data in Embraco, and we've got things like linking to Embraco coming up, you can actually generate .NET class which represents that. So you're designing data that's then got a data model on top of it that you can push into Embraco, and it can just sit there at the back. It's got web services, so you could do it remote calls to push the data into it, or it could sit on the same server and you can push the data in through the other APIs that expose it, and then have that go into Lucene if that was ultimately the goal. But yeah, at the moment, no, you can't just use the Xamn API to publish into Lucene.
But it would be nice,
Yeah,
obviously. But
it's on the list of to-dos.
so that other concept then, you're really the one you were just talking about with using Embraco more as a storage engine, you're effectively saying use Embraco as a NoSQL
Yeah, to an extent,
data.
because you've got.
Or a document database, I suppose, is the better term for it.
Yeah, that's probably a better way of describing it, because the data in there is purely data. Just because we're serving it through a web interface doesn't mean that that's the only way to interact with it. I know of people that have done projects that actually just have web forms, sorry, WinForms applications sitting in front of Embraco that just feed data in and out. I did a prototype last year of doing a WPF app that just sits in front of Embraco and just reads using link to Embraco from the XML cache. It actually doesn't have any interaction with the web UI. There's nothing that would stop you from having Embraco sitting there just as a quick way. It's a quick admin system, and you've designed some data in it, or you've designed some data structures in it, and you're interacting with it however you need to, and then you're publishing it out however you need to.
So obviously you wouldn't have the scalability of a full NoSQL document database, but it's a nice a quick and dirty way of getting one up and running.
Yeah, exactly. If you just needed a quick admin system that you got to push data to, that you don't want to have to think about the underlying data storage, then yeah, it's definitely a candidate for that.
Very interesting, very interesting. All right, Aaron, What else? Anything? Any last minute plugs that you want to throw out there?
Well, we've got Code Garden coming up, which is the Embraco conference. It's run annually in Denmark. So if anyone, probably not necessarily to any Australians.
As long as the volcano is not going at the time.
Yeah, I really hope that settles down because it's going to make for an interesting flight otherwise.
Do you know anyone who can actually say the name of that volcano properly?
No. Did everyone see the oatmeal comic where it was just how they named it was the cat just walked across a keyboard? Isn't it Iceland just turning around going, ha, this is what you get for global warming, people? Take that, air travel.
So you get to go all the way over there, enjoy yourself in Europe and swan about. European yep. summer should be nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice, and hopefully there's a very little amount of ash cloud. I'm actually going over there and we'll be presenting Webform's MVP from an Embraco scope. We've also got a session running on Xamarin. So we're plugging all the things that we use back here.
Excellent. Go the Aussies.
Yeah, next off, world domination.
That's it. We're going to be the world's next superpower.
Definitely.
All right, with that, Aaron, I think we'll leave it there now. We've probably reached time. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been another episode of Talking Shop, and we'll catch you next time.